You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The situation, my very first job when I left school was picking mushrooms. And when they told me what the mushrooms are grown in, which is shit.
Yeah.
I quit.
You didn't know when you put your hands in shit?
Yeah. That's it. I'm out. Not for me.
You didn't smell it? It doesn't smell
bad? Well, that's what I got there. And I go, what the fuck? What is that?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of 2020. I'm Siobhan Cronin here, as always, with Benny Goodman and Corey Pesa. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. You're still on that bus. It's been like a week. Jeez. You
know. I know, right? Just eternal. The tour life. So I'm sitting in the back lounge, tuning in from the tour bus of Star
away
Set,
from
where
the
we're
Gen
doing
Pop.
Our acoustic events. Away from the Gen Pop. And this was actually a really special episode because I got 2020'd out of co-hosting.
Yeah, you got a break.
It was a transcendent thing because we basically conned our British ambassador, Steve Wood, who is the senior manager at Shelter Music, which is basically like the Sith Lord of all management companies in the greatest of ways, into being a co-host this time for Dustin from Star Set. And if you don't know
Dustin
Star
Bates
Set,
of Star Set, my co-bandmate, genius behind all that is Star Set.
The smartest man alive. Like, if you're in a band and you're touring and you want to know how to do it right, like, listen to every single thing, every verb, every adjective, everything he says is like the letter of the law. There's a reason.
Yeah, there's
for
actually
it.
Things you can learn from this episode. In case you're used to it.
And Steve was so amused. He thought he was a guitarist.
Nah, it's a ton of fun. Definitely check this one out. 2020-D.com. Like and subscribe. Do all those fun things. Part 2 with Steve and an additional Dustin.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Benny Goodman, and I am here with my compatriots, my cohorts, my partners in crime, the people that I call bandmates, and the band LostSymphony.com, Corey Pesa and Siobhan Cronin. How are you guys doing this week?
Just excited to be back.
Good.
With our super excited guest to be back.
I got to be real. So we had Richard Shaw on not too long ago, who's our first British ambassador, but I think the ambassador to all ambassadors, and I think Richard Shaw would also be completely okay with this. In fact, he told me so, is our friend, our guest this week. I like to say friend first before a guest because I didn't tell him to take his shoes off.
Correctly said.
The senior manager at Shelter Music, which if you don't know, it's actually when Mick Jagger says, give me shelter. He's talking about Steve Wood from Shelter
he
Music.
Is. I must call him back.
Our guest.
I know. Mick, I'm sorry.
just don't tell Charlie Watts he's mixed drummer.
Oh God. Yeah, he's sitting out there 13 shows and
cheers to Charlie. I mean, that guy hasn't missed a show ever, right? Like that dude's like 10 minutes early to every single gig and he's like 137 years old, right?
He's 18 now. I had lunch with the Rolling Stones tour manager a few weeks ago and he told me something. He said, because I'm fascinated, how do you tour manage the Rolling Stones? I mean, what do you do? I mean, what do you say to Mick Jagger or Keith Richards? Like, what do you say? And so he told me when Charlie takes his jacket off, that's the sign to start the sound check. When he takes the jacket off. And when he puts it back on, that's the end of sound check. That's how it works.
But hold on.
Has there ever been an instance where the jacket just went back on before it should have ended and he just walked
I don't know, but like nobody questions it. They just do it, he said.
But hold on. In his defense, my grandfather used to go to the same place every single week to the same table with the same friends so that he could be like, I'm the guy around here. And I feel like if I was Charlie, I'm 80 years old, like I'm going to the same restaurant for 80 years, doing the same damn thing. I'd be like, don't you know I want my fucking pancakes? Don't you know I like my butter on the side? Like at this point, especially when it's like $2,000 a ticket.
Well, I don't think Charlie was like that, but I did watch an interview where they were saying when it was the 50th anniversary, they said, Charlie, it's amazing. You've been in the band for 50 years. What was that like? He goes, well, I don't really know because I spent 25 of those years just hanging around waiting for the others, you know. And you know that's kind of true.
That's awesome.
I mean, how do you hurry
up?
Why
do you think Bill Wyman is such a great photographer? Because he was just waiting around for everybody. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to take up the camera.
Hobby.
Yeah.
Pick up a hobby. But I was fascinated to know how the Rolling Stones work. And apparently Keith Richards doesn't even have a cell phone.
No, he doesn't. That's actually a thing.
Why would he?
He doesn't need it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I love those stories. I once was doing a festival in Seoul in Korea, and Ozzy was headlining. And I got on the plane, and Ozzy's production manager just happened to be next to me. And he's also the Rolling Stones production manager. And I think for half that flight, I just quizzed him on the Rolling Stones because it fascinates me, you know, how it works. Mm. It really is interesting to me.
My favorite Stone story that I heard recently was that, so first off, I think it was like $50,000 the last time he did a meet and greet to meet the Rolling Stones. And I heard that Metallica, who's like one of my favorite bands to shit on, but I love Metallica. They're my favorite band, but I hate them, but I love them, but I hate them. But they went backstage and I heard that like literally the Rolling Stones, like in the picture, like they're just continuing to walk by them and didn't even get an autograph or anything. And you pay 50 grand. It's like literally you get half of Keith Richards' face. Like, and I'm like, oh my God, could you imagine paying 50 grand and you don't even get a fucking picture with the guy? Like it must be nice to be Keith fucking Richards.
Well, I will tell you, we have knowledge of this. I do. With the Hollywood vampires, there are three principals, that, and Joe Perry, Johnny Depp, Alice Cooper. And we do a VIP every night, and we cap it at 100 people. And I think the price is $1,500. And how it works, and it's mind-blowing, because each tour grosses like $1 million in this. And 100 people show up. They're told where to stand. There's pipe and drape, like three sides of a square with all Hollywood vampires backdrops. They stand there. The security has the velvet rope, you know, there. And the guy with a motor drive, they stand there. Brrr, next. And then you get a website. You go to the website, choose the one you want. They take the word proof out of it. Bang, you got your picture. And you get some other goodie bags. And there it is. Look at that.
When I went out to Vegas, Paul was telling me that he was trying to explain to Johnny Depp, your client, that there's a bunch of people trying to infringe upon his personal, his intellectual property, how he even looks. He's like, I don't give a fuck. And then Paul said he went and ordered a bunch of shit off eBay.
That's right.
Showed it to fucking Johnny Depp.
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. You can buy his face. Yeah. Slash told me something one day. He said, what's really weird is he went to a Halloween party and he saw someone dressed as him. I mean, that was their Halloween.
Oh, he's a common costume.
Yeah. Yeah. How weird. Right. But anyway.
Speaking of VIPs, Dustin just walked into the back lounge and asked if everyone wanted him to say hi. So
we
let me know if you want him to come.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Let's talk to Dustin from Star Set.
I'll tell him to come back so you can keep child. Yeah. I'll let you know when he comes back.
So, Steve, we've been trying to get Dustin forever, but he's got a billion streams, so I think he might be too cool for us. Siobhan's is in our band.
Beam him up.
Anyway, well, we can keep talking.
Does he know he's kissing the ring right now with Steve Wood?
Come on.
Is Dustin aware? Have we briefed him? Siobhan?
Went out and I was telling them about all the stories we talked about in the first episode. He's you're going to have to come out and tell us all these stories.
Is we should actually have a game between Steve and Dustin where we can ask questions and they can both just list off answers to things.
I'm up.
Because we have two legends. We have Dustin from Starset, who's created his own religion. And then we have Steve, who basically is like my spirit animal. Like, if I could be anything in any ethereal world in any different dimension, I would be Steve Wood now.
Oh, because, then listen, I would be Benny.
I want your problems. Because
okay,
Dan
Dustin's
Beck, who's
back.
Our,
so I'm going to hand off the headphones for like a minute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just so you can
just
say hi.
We trade Dustin.
Up in the corner. So it's us.
Dustin from Starset, everybody. 2020.
What's up? There he is.
Hello, Dustin. I'm Steve Wood. How are you?
I think I unplugged it.
Oh, hold on.
He's tangled.
Hey, brought to you by Behringer headphones.
She's stuck in the corner here. I just unplugged everything.
There you go.
Uh-oh.
There, boom. I can hear you guys.
Hey, got you. What's up,
man?
I think
we have a mutual friend in Mike Plotnikoff, actually.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Mike?
I love Mike.
Mike was my neighbor when I lived in Calabasas.
No way.
Yeah, so my wife and the four of us would go out for dinners. And yeah, Mike is at the studio which Howard Benson brought in. It's called Village Studios. Have you been there?
Yep, I have.
Hung out
Mike
for
an
and I go back
once.
12 years, I guess, now.
That's awesome. He's an awesome, like, sweet guy.
Yeah, he's a Canadian guy, actually.
They're all Canadians are sweet, I guess.
Yeah. How's it going? How's your tour going?
Great. What are we on? Show, I don't know, feels like 1,000 at this point.
Yeah.
But it's 12 in a row, which is a challenge for singing, because we meet every single fan and talk with them. So,
good.
Man, there's a lot of vocal rest, but it's going well. Very successful.
That's how you have to do it these days. I mean, you really need to, like, look after your fan base. You got to super serve them, actually. It's so important.
Yep.
Really, and you're doing the right thing.
It's sort of a tiered system, and the different types of fans can sort of feed into the others. We've named, on the last record, we named the type of fans between the pedestrian fan, the super fan, and the general rock fan. Like, and then, there's three types.
So Starset's like a feudalistic society.
Yeah, exactly.
Am I a plebeian?
I don't know. You're the court jester.
That's very possible. I'm the minstrel. Yeah. Songs. Yeah. Everyone wants songs.
Yeah. That's good. And 139 guitars.
More, but that's fine. That's very nice. That was nice of you, Steve.
Well, I love those pictures. What do you play, Dustin?
I play a terrible guitar that I hunt and peck on piano. Everything, when I'm writing, it's I was rhythm guitar in my last band, but when I write, it's just like, how does this feel? It's a very low level of musical theory, and it just builds, and it's an iterative process, and there's some guesswork, and it's all shooting blind in the darkness.
Wait, works? Look at the world. I mean, it's working.
Yeah.
The band's really well known. They're playing major festivals. I mean, that's what success looks like, is doing those things.
It's fun. And, there are other people in the orbit that are really good with music theory and really good with orchestration. It can take a top-line melody and flesh it out. I couldn't orchestrate the entire string aspect of everything. It's always like there's a theme or a general idea, and then it always takes someone with theory to finalize it.
Are you more of a rhythm guitar player or lead?
And it's rhythm, and it's a special type of rhythm, I would say, because I'm left-handed and I was a poor kid. And so I actually picked strawberries to buy my first guitar. And as soon as I got to the mark where I could buy a cheap right-hand guitar, because left-hand guitars are twice as much money, I got that. And so, and I also play drums, so it's a certain type of like rhythmic aspect to the playing.
And by the way, Steve, I think it's adorable that you're not aware that Dustin is actually the lead singer of Starset, the hyper successful. And I use the word hyper because the thing, and Dustin, I gotta ask you this because I respect this completely. you have a world. And the way I can explain it to people is I went and saw you guys and I looked to one of my friends and I was like, I'm going to talk to, you know, Siobhan after the show. And they looked at me so angrily, like, how could you possibly interrupt what we are witnessing? But they were very serious, like very, very serious. And at first I wanted to make fun of them. But then I said to myself, I can't believe this is amazing. And I look around and everyone, and it had been since Iron Maiden or Metallica that I had seen so many people wearing your band shirt in the show. And then afterwards, when the show was over, I thought you guys were signing autographs because the merch booth was so, it was such a long wait. They had to keep the club open. But the fact was you were just selling merch. And I couldn't, I'm like, dude, this guy not only writes unbelievable music, but he understands it's more with marketing and understand. You've created a literal world. There's a book I need to read. I'm a guitarist. Why?
Yeah. You definitely have that holistic like approach to everything that seems so well curated. And while we have our legendary touring master here, I was actually curious what aspect of Star Set between the writing, the touring, and the world building is like your favorite, or is it like, is it kind of the whole mix among all of them?
Yeah, it is so intertwined with this project that it's hard to have a favorite. You know, I had a band before this that was rock, just a rock band signed to Epic, and that went away, and it was so great that it did because I blended all of my passions with this one, and the cool thing, sometimes it overlaps and it's overwhelming, the world building, the marketing, or the music side, but oftentimes I can just go from one to the next to the next to the next, and especially when COVID doesn't mess that cadence up.
Yeah.
And so I love being able to switch the different sort of brand, or the different
gears, maybe.
Yeah, the different gears of creativity. Yeah, there are different types, and then you're blending. You're going from the business to different, various types of creativity, and it's awesome.
Who manages you guys?
We self-manage.
Really?
Yeah, we had some great managers we've worked with, and it's just a little too atypical. My favorite, if anybody of the other managers see this, I'll be mad, but my favorite was Chris from 10th Street, 10th Street Management. But it was great, but things didn't quite align in terms of just timing, I think. And we had been, you know, with some other ones, and we understand that we need to grow into the fact that we absolutely need management. But currently, Ron and I, and Ron was actually brought into the band for numerous reasons.
The bass player being, Starset, for those that don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he comes from, I was an engineer, and Ron comes from like a corporate world, but we've been friends forever. And one of the really strong aspects of Ron is I knew that he could do the logistics side of this, and I could do the business creative side on the back end, in addition to all the other things. And so far, it's been the best combination, and they're taking out some cogs in the wheel has made it more efficient. We know exactly, you know, no one's making decisions for us, and it's oftentimes someone making decisions for a band is a great thing, but for now, this is the best thing. I want to get so big that it would be ludicrous to self-manage, but with technology...
That's the title of the show, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm serious. That's the best quote of the day. I want to be so big, it's ludicrous to self-manage. That's literally beautiful, dude. Trademark.
That's Alan Kovacs, right? 10th Street?
Yeah. I never had talked to him. And
really?
I believe, not to throw him under the bus, but he was pitched the band early on, and he passed. And I am... Well, I'm happy where we're at.
Yeah. I think I hear you loud and clear, actually. But we've had dealings. Paul Geary and I, my business partner, we managed Godsmack.
Oh, nice.
And we actually had a bit of a falling out with Alan over Motley Crue.
Really?
It got quite ugly, actually.
Did people take pictures too close to Nikki Sixx's face and they could see the pockmarks that Fractal Lasering didn't fix?
Oh, it wasn't that. It wasn't that. It was, I can tell you what it was. Because of that we fell out, the two bands fell out, and Sully wrote a hit over it called Crying Like a Bitch. And it went to number one.
That was a great song.
And it was because of this incident with Motley Crue and Alan Kovacs. And they got a number one hit out of it. So,
and they got pissed about that?
Not Godsmack. Godsmack loved that.
Right, but did Nikki Six took such offense to that that like there was like chatter in the background?
Oh yeah, it's like a Twitter war, dude. It was like literally a thing where basically, I mean, first off, it's like grown men throwing shit at each other. It's like not as bad as the guy from Trapped who just self-destructed. But like, yeah, no, Sully and Motley Crue were on tour and they were like, they were throwing shade at each other. And literally, I think, I want to say Nikki Sixx wrote a song that no one listened to that was sort of some rebuttal or whatever, but, you know, Crying Like a Bitch went to number one and we know it's about Nikki Sixx. So
it was,
good for you, Sully.
Also, we were managing Steel Panther at the time, and Steel Panther were added to a tour of the UK with Def Leppard, Motley Crue, and Steel Panther. And there was this whole thing, Nikki Sixx and Tommy Lee completely slagged off Steel Panther in the press.
Slagged.
That's the thing. I'm English. And so
I love it.
And it completely backfired on those two guys because it just sounded like sour grapes. Because what they do is they make fun of bands like.
Right. They're impervious.
And they couldn't take it. And of course, by them, saying how ludicrous, as that word again, to put Steel Panther on the bill, it made Motley Crue look like complete crybabies and spoiled.
Well, but that's all. Here's why, though. Here's the truth. Here's the absolute truth. Is that first off, Michael Starr can sing like a motherfucker. Secondly, Satchel's one of the greatest guitarists in the world. And if you're Steel Panther, you're obviously opening for Motley Crue. And the sad truth is that they are 10,000 times better than even Motley Crue in their heyday, because the truth is Vince Neil was never a good singer. He's just gotten worse. That's all it is. He's just gotten listen to Live Wire. That note hurts me to my soul now that I know that there's auto-tune, but that's fine. That's fine. Like for years I thought it was okay because it was metal.
Yeah, but in fact, poor old Vince Neil, he did a festival a few weeks ago and it got out on Loudwire.
Oh, he walked off stage.
Yeah. He walked off stage. Yeah.
Sorry, guys, I can't sing.
Yeah.
How many times have you walked off stage, Dustin?
Unfortunately, zero. I say unfortunately because when we were supporting bands. When you're supporting and they're like, you're playing tonight, I had full on laryngitis, just barking, like, barking an entire show, and I probably should have not played that one. And there's been a couple times headlining where we just powered through, but man, didn't do great for
is it times like
band.
That where you just go like, I'm so glad for DMX 512 Protocol.
we need to start piping in fake vocals. I've never
Or you just have me sing in the background like Derek Sherinian used to do with Kiss, where he'd be off stage because they didn't want people to know he was playing keyboards. So he'd be like, and I could sit there with a harmonizer just hitting it live like a DJ for you. And I could even take you and live loop you. Yeah, you could live loop you and I'll just be in the back like the Wizard of Oz.
You reminded me of something. In my tour managing days, I was the tour manager for two tours for Kiss. And in those days, the offstage keyboard player was a guy called Gary Corbett. And Gary, unfortunately, just died recently. But
cheers to the heavens.
So we were doing this tour, and he was, he did all the keyboards off the side. And for Kiss, he was basically a road crew guy. I mean, that's how they treat people, right? And so the tour wasn't doing very well, and they decided they were going to have to make some cuts. So what they did was completely recorded everything he did that night
and then fired the poor guy and then just ran the tape.
So they just replaced him with an iPod, but that's the total correct way to do it. Like, Justin's like taking notes. He's like, this is what we should do.
We're doing the opposite. Yeah. I'm trying to get more and more members. It's like the least business savvy move ever. But
can I applaud you for something though? I have to tell you. So I brought my 16-year-old to see you, and it was her first like rock concert and her friend's first concert period. And they both left and they said the same thing. We loved when both string players played at the same time. And that made my heart warm because you guys are actually like a rock band that successfully uses strings and really utilizes it to a point where 16-year-olds leave going, I liked the cello part.
Yeah, it's cool. Especially in this music thing.
Check out, what's your latest album? What's it called? I'm going to go and listen after this.
The most recent. So we're about to put a record out in can't exactly say. This year, yeah, we're going to put a record out. But the last record was called Divisions.
Divisions. All right. Yeah. Great.
And the
I'll check out the Starset band and see if you guys are any good. Maybe we'll put you on a tour with Motley Crue. Like, oh, but so you know, Steve, and by the way, this is how I knew you made it, Dustin, was when I first came to see you guys at the Palladium with Corey. We came outside and there were so many 18-wheelers. And I'm like, what band are they opening for? And we went inside and there was all these LED screens, and I'm like, but why? And then we saw you upstairs and you were doing trivia like at the beginning of a movie, but about your band. And you were watching, like Corey pointed it out to me because I was like a little drunk because I don't drink much, but I was drunk at this moment. And he was like, these people in the crowd are actually, they know the answers to these insane questions. And you're sitting there like approving of this on your crazy Megatron that, like, I swear to God, like Corey and I don't even get a van.
Really?
No, Lost Symphony. We'd be lucky if we got a Taurus.
We'll get an Uber. We'll get an Uber.
You've never played live, though, have you?
Exactly. I don't have gas money.
You don't need a van.
But don't we need Eddie Van Halen first before we can make the video? And isn't he dead? Do I need a spirit box?
You need to do the whole CGI.
Deep faking. Can we deep fake you, Dustin? Can we do the whole next record where everybody, we get Siobhan's face, we get Brock's face, Adam's face, we can just deep fake
I would love to be deep faked on a tour. If I could figure out the new model for touring where I don't have to be there and it still goes off and the fans still love it, oh.
It's like Woody Allen. He's like, I'm not as scared of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens.
Well said. That's a good one. Yeah. Actually, I just watched that Woody Allen documentary on HBO. How weird is that? It's
called. I haven't seen it, but I know how weird his life is. So yeah, cool.
Yeah, Allen versus Farrow. It's called.
Oh my God!
I need to watch that.
It's out there. It's out there.
So Justin, how's tour going, man? Like, I saw you guys acoustic, and I gotta tell you, so like for being a band that has to use baritone guitars and all that sort of stuff, it really, really goes very well acoustically.
Yeah, that is.
And Ron's a great singer, by the way. Just out
Ron's
of nowhere.
Great. Yep. Brock's okay too, kind of. You know.
Yeah,
he does.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, it's really cool that the cinematic, you know, pseudo metal, pseudo prog, gent thing, whatever, hard rock thing, can be transcribed or, you know, played acoustically, and it still works. I love that. To be honest, when we get done with this record deal after this one, I'm going to probably focus on an acoustic little bridge album or something, you know, because it
does work. What label are you on, Dustin?
It's Fearless, which is a Concord subsidiary.
Yeah.
And this is our last record with them. And
are you excited about that? Do you want to be free so you can like have all the profits because you now have created your own marketing like conglomerate?
Well, you know, there could be more profits, but we're actually going to double down on marketing. We're going to do it independently most likely, but we are going to probably double the budget on the next album and, you know, invest in ourselves in an insane, you know. So, you know, the cool thing about that is the band's successful enough that if the album flops, which statistically it probably won't, as long as the work's put in, then if it were to flop, it would just be a bust. But if you put that much, you double the budget and it crushes, it could be like, you know, even bigger, and we're at
the
helm.
Need to call Max Martin and tell him to write from a 17-year-old girl's perspective, and you're all set.
I don't know. I'm not sure that's going to work.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
You can, you can send Ben's consulting fees directly to the trash as far as
your... Are all the whole band on this acoustic tour, or do you cut it down to do acoustic?
No, it's the full go, all six of us.
Six of you, wow.
Yeah, there's guitar, bass, drums, but Ron on bass also plays keys, and then cello and violin. Siobhan sometimes plays some keys too, but I think the songs we've been playing, she doesn't. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, on the next tour, we're talking about adding a seventh person. We have as many people on tour as another band our size, as the average band our size, because we don't do things like full devoted guitar tech and things. I find those to be archaic. And we also come up with ways to do stage production that is somewhat more efficient, but also has bang for the buck.
Sure.
So yeah, there's ways, and Benny's probably like judging me for the guitar tech thing. That's probably like total
no, dream. Dude. I think that this is brilliant. In fact, I'm dumb, and everyone thinks I'm smart with guitars. Other than I knew that, you know, the other day that when it was humid out, when the bass was buzzing, I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Okay, that's an Allen's, that was an smart. Allen wrench. So that I knew.
See, we could have used the guitar.
But having like where you can have a Kemper where you just take a USB drive and put it back in, and like it's fixed again, and there's your sound. You don't need like to, there's not one thing wrong. I saw Steve Vai for 25 minutes. Try to figure out his wah pedal was broken, and I'm like,
"Oh my god!"
And I've never even been able to use a tuner without it eating sound. So I think the fact that you have everything on Kempers, and if you have a backup Kemper or whatever you're using, right. That and it's all with the lights and it changes itself. Yeah. Like for fuck's sake, you're right; it's archaic. And I think you should write a book and a manifesto and let other guys like us know how we can cheap tour so we can actually do the stuff that you do, because your production is amazing and what you were even able to do in a small place. Was fantastic, and the fact
Michael,
is,
yeah.
You didn't tell yeah. Steve, but you have again, like you know, the string section. Steve is so amazing because not only do you have people switch hitting on keyboards and all that, you have mm-hmm. brilliant harmonies on top of live strings, on top of something that it seems to me like it's one part like you know gent, one part metal, but also that part like despondence that people can relate to, being hormonal, young, and dealing in a society where you don't fucking understand anything. And you like really, you play to all of those things and you do it authentically, and that's a very hard triumvirate that I salute you for.
I'm going to check it out on YouTube. How long has this tour been going so far?
We've done 20 shows and there's 11 left to go.
There's content.
It's only been one day off so far, but
the rest for the wicked,
acoustic
man.
Is
there'll be
acoustic
content
is easier.
Up there on YouTube for sure.
Oh yeah. It's, you know, it's, not as, it's not as good as our full demonstrations, you know, the full blown ones, but it's good enough.
And look, you said you also play guitar, and with our friend Benny right here, what guitar do you play? Out of interest.
So I when I'm writing, it's often just like usually baritones. A Mike Mushok baritone is my standard guitar to pick up and write on. I have a
Stained Boston Homeboys.
Stained.
Yeah.
Right.
I have just an acoustic sometimes when I'm writing. I don't even know. I think it's. I don't know what brand that is. Ibanez, maybe. I don't even know. It's just
really?
A crapper. Wow. It's a piece of crap. I still need to go. I need to get like the,
get
you know,
a Martin.
The respectable
get a
Martin. I know.
Yeah,
I
get a Taylor.
I have to.
Well, you know what? But I respect that because you're such a more of a composer and a big picture person that you're a utilitarian. So you're not like, I need a PRS that's from the private stock. You're just like, dude, I'm going to write a fucking hit and I'm going to make money doing that. And then eventually
I'm also the way about
me.
Like guitar tone. People are like, guitar tone. I'm just like, put me to sleep.
Your
unless...
guitar tone's in your hand, dude. Like, that's what it comes down to. Like, you could, I suck. I'll make a fucking full Marshall stack sound like shit. Eddie Van Halen can make your crate sound amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to get it above the threshold of quality, but you know.
That's why we go to 11, Dustin.
Oh, yeah. Hey. We were just watching that last night.
Hey, do you have a Gibson Hummingbird?
I have a 1964 Gibson Hummingbird.
And what do you think of it?
Well, now, since I've taken off the original plastic bridge that was kind of hollow, not attached, I had a Brazilian rosewood one that's actually attached to the soundboard, and it resonates much better. So since I actually decided to make it non-fully original by making that Brazilian rosewood bridge, it's changed from a great guitar to a special guitar.
Yeah, I want to get one. I've always wanted one.
I told you many a time, you let me hunt with your money, sir. We can do it for a skit on the Neurotic Guitarist. We'll put you in the corner like Inspector Gadget, where you can be all blurred out, and you can be like, Betty, you can give me like a bunch of money and be like, I want Bitcoin. I can't buy anything with cash. Give me your black card. And then we'll go and get you like a Gibson Modern, and we'll just hand it back.
I actually just did a deal with Gibson. They really did me a solid. We managed, just so you know, Dustin, we managed Joe Perry nice. For his solo career. That's
awesome. Who? Who's Joe Perry?
You're from Boston. You wouldn't know.
Yeah.
But, Aerosmith?
Yes. We did a deal with Gibson to do a Joe Perry gold top with the single pickup, and they made like 150 of them, and it's exact replica down to where his belt buckle is like beating up the back of his guitar.
It's a good one.
Yeah. So I really wanted the 2017 Firebird reissue in ebony. It's a custom Firebird.
I don't know. So you're not a plebeian is what you're telling us. You're a higher level star set.
I called
feudalistic society,
and I asked them. I said I wanted to buy one. They said, "Well, we don't do them anymore. It's a one and done. We put it out as a special." Anyway, cut long story short, they did me a huge solid, and they geared up the factory to make it for me. I'm so happy.
Gibson won't even return my calls, and they make you a fucking guitar. They know.
Yeah.
Fucking dickheads, dude. Like, and you know what? And you're worth way more money than I am. That's the fucked up part. Us poor people, they don't even want to call us back. I'm like, dude, I got a Blood Moon, and they said that there was a toggle switch inside to make it go from split coil to tapping. No, there is actually no dip switch, and I don't like it split. I want it to tap, and it doesn't do that. Why would you not call me back, Gibson? Like, I don't understand. I just spent $3,000 on a red guitar. Oh. Like, what's wrong with them? And they send you a guitar? That's not fucking fair.
If you want to talk to Gibson, call me.
Oh, cool.
It's all who you know.
We'll take that. Yeah,
it always is.
He's going to call you. I can assure you that right now. I don't want to waste this though right now while we have Dustin and Steve, because we were talking a little bit earlier about the model now for getting music out and keeping people engaged. And Dustin, you have a unique situation because of the real, like, the world around the band. But one of the things we were saying is that the single game is now almost far more important than the album for most artists that are really dependent on that, you know, the next thing, the new content. How do you see that in the industry, within your band and outside of your band? Like, do you really push those individual songs, even though there is the album?
Yeah. It is, in general, because of the way that music is consumed now, it is smart to play the single game. And nine times out of ten, if I was in a different band, I would really hone in on that and maximize that to its absolute optimization. But in our band, because of the cinematic, the advantage is when bands are at least trying to do that, we're entirely bucking that trend, and it's focus primarily on the album, and not just like. But when you do that, it can't just be like an album with like three pretty good songs and then some duds. I have to start 60 songs in some form every album, because I want every song to be super good in at least some way. Maybe it's not a single type of goodness, but for the Star Set fan or you know, various other reasons. But and then, though, within that, you have to have, even with an album central band, you have to have a couple songs that are straight up. I call them engineered. I engineer them for different outlets like radio. And that's actually very pinpoint right now. Active rock radio is a thing, and you can engineer towards it. And you have to. The problem is, like, if we're here, there's a Venn diagram. It used to be like, oh, I can overlap where active rock is. It's getting a little hard, a little more. It's a little harder to get over there. But we do, and then sometimes those songs stand out a little bit, but I still, that's definitely still part of the formula, and it'll stay that way for now, at least. Yeah.
And with, I fully agree.
Yeah, with those, especially with like your super dedicated fan base, like, do you see, like, can you tell the trickle in of the people that just heard the radio song versus the people that are on your site every day looking for update? Like, how does that ratio look right now?
Yeah, well, on this tour, it's 100 people every night, and it's $100 tickets. So you can see that it's going to be more, we call them messengers, you know, the super fans. It's going to be a higher proportion of them. And you can also see that in the per head merch count, which is astronomic.
You do good merch. That's wonderful.
Yeah, well, we really focus on it, but we also, being a lifestyle band, and we have our own insular world that goes into books and graphic novels and things. The merch does well, but on these type of tours where it's almost all very, you know, messengers, super fans, the merch is higher. And typically, though, it is an interesting blend of we've done really well at marketing to game, not really marketing. We just work with gamer kids. So you'll have gamer kids, you'll have Reddit type kids. And when I say kids, I would say 14 to 25.
Oh, okay.
And then you'll have your Octane people, which are slightly different than your terrestrial people.
Yeah.
These are disparate groups, and they're out there and they're blended, and it's actually it's a nice blend. It's
great. And do you do VIP, the meet and greet? That
we do, and
that's
it's
another
extensive
great income stream.
Yeah, it allows us to spend almost all of the money currently on production from the guarantee.
Right.
And you know, we always try to do the production at one level beyond where we're at. So if we're in the club, we want to bring three theater style, and it takes some inventiveness. But theater, it's like a small, not quite arena, but beyond a theater, and that's expensive, even if we do it efficiently. And so VIP allows for that, absolutely.
Correct. And do you have your own production manager that's been with you for a while, and is he involved in the design, or?
To this point, I still do a lot of the design. It used to be me building literal spacesuits for the band. And then now, if I come up with an electronic piece, it's prototype, because they always break. Because like it's just the idea. And then we have someone else make them much more reliable. There are spacesuits involved in this show. There's lots of wardrobe. But we don't have, to answer your question, we don't have a production manager, but currently I sit at sort of the top on the off tour side, and then on tour it is just a division of labor sort of thing. And the mantra is no shared tasks, because if everybody owns whatever it is, no matter how many things you have, because in the past that was a huge problem. Someone would think they're helping, and they'd help, you know, two out of five shows, and something breaks, and then it's chaos. So,
And who's your tour manager? I'm just wondering if I know him or her.
So our sound guy picks up on a regular tour, I would say 75% of the tour managing duties, and then Ron, as the business logistics guy, will do another 25%. But I think this next one's gonna be Ryan's first foray into the 100% tour managing world.
And it's Ryan in the band, or is he?
He's the mixer, front of house.
Oh, okay. So he could be involved in tour management and tour production, I suppose. I mean, unless you take him out completely and put him just into the logistics. I mean,
yeah. I think, you know, playing to his strengths, I wouldn't put him at the production thing. Sorry, Ryan. You still get to be the.
What's his last name? Manager. I wonder if I know him.
Ainsworth. Ryan Ainsworth. He's a great front house guy, and he does good production. If you're trying to
He gave me my favorite line from any sound guy in the last 20 years. He looked at me and he said, "An acoustic bass is not a real instrument." I loved that. I was like, "Dude, I kind of agree with you." I don't agree with him fundamentally, but I'm like, as a sound guy, I'm like, "You're kind of right though."
Well, Ainsworth's a very English sounding name. Is he English?
I don't know, but we call him Ainsworth. No, I'm just
like Chevron.
After I found out that that's what they called him in high school, I stopped because my last name's Bates, so I live.
Oh, Master it could be Bates. Master Bates.
Yeah. So yeah, I had empathy for that.
It sounds so charming when you say it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have had any problem if it was Master Bates. I wouldn't have any problem with that. That's much nicer.
It's like if Jeeves did it for you.
Sorry, I cut you off there.
No. I think it just kind of speaks to the way you guys don't seem to follow any strict rules as to how the division of labor goes, and everyone's just kind of has a job, and you're not really looking at a template. You seem to make it work with what you have, and it seems to be working incredibly well. So I think there's just a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, and I think that's my engineering background. But one of the pros, or one of the cons to that, is if everything's working nicely, I'm immediately trying to take one more step, and there's some trial and error that happens on tour. Like, well, why don't we get this now and do this? And sometimes it has broken things.
Give us a Spinal Tap moment, because you guys have a lot of shit. Like, did you not have Stonehenge come down one day and they're like, wait, the planet's on our line for Star Set?
Well, I literally were just talking about this. So we put the, I don't really like cymbals going bleeding into my mic. I like to have a little extra compression in my ears. I hate cymbals, so I was like, well, we could get like cymbal covers, or because we already have the quieter cymbals. It wasn't enough for me, so I built this cage that's made out of plexiglass that's covered in a polymer that when you put 110 volts across it goes clear. You might have seen it in like a posh club. And so the entire Adam was behind this thing, and it's totally translucent. And then when you give it voltage on each of these little nodes, it'll go clear. And so what we did is he's playing behind it, and it goes translucent, and then we projected onto it, 3D projection onto it. And then when he wasn't playing, and it also solved the problem of the electronic drum loops. Like, he's not playing, he disappears. And now it's projection. And then boom, I used like wireless DMX control, and used it to open up some relays that made it go transparent, and now he's playing. And then we also backlight him at that instant as well. So it's a push and pull. And the only issue is the little box I made it was probably still prototype, that actually picks up that DMX signal to make it go transparent. You know, you're at festivals and they're just like, it doesn't get as much love at a festival. Well, he's, I don't know when it happened, if it was from the beginning or like during a song, he just stays translucent. He's just in a white box for multiple songs. So that's a very, very Spinal Tap.
Has anyone
moment.
Ever held up like a car and said, this is where you are on the spectrum? Because I got to tell you, man, I say this with like the most complimentary way possible. You're a savant, dude. Because I'm an engineer too, right? And and I'm listening to you and I understand what you're saying. But basically what you're saying is like, so I basically created the equivalent of electrostatic speaker, except it's for visual. So it's not dipolar radiation. In fact, I'm sending it so you can actually create whether you could see somebody. But because of that, I'm creating a sound stage for myself so I can compress it so I don't hear the fucking cymbals because I fucking hate cymbals. And I'm like, dude, you elitist, smart motherfucker. Like, I love it, and you figured it out, and you're like, but I picked strawberries to buy my guitar, so I can't even hate you.
See, that's my shield against that. I just got to give you some story to be empathetic towards me.
There you go, man. Yeah. I took it hook, line, and sinker. I believe in you. You played right-handed, even though you're lefty. God bless you.
Just, about that strawberry situation, my very first job when I left school was picking mushrooms. And I quit for a day. When they told me what the mushrooms are grown in, which is shit.
Yeah.
I quit.
You didn't know when you put your hands in shit?
Yeah. That's it. I'm out. I'm not for me.
You didn't smell it? It doesn't smell
well,
bad?
Well, that's what I got there. And I go, what the fuck? What is that?
But how? Wait, when did we flash to shagging chicks because you do fashion?
Did you say shagging chicks?
Yeah, shagging chicks.
That's a great word.
Right. In your flat. In your chateau. Is that where you were when you were out at school? Well, because didn't you do fashion? You just happened upon being a manager. Because Jimi Hendrix, right?
I did have a flat in London. I did, yes.
Nice.
In the West End. I actually lived in a mews, which is a mews house. Is in the old days, it's where behind the rich person's house, they would have this cobbled stone area where the horse and carts would stay. And that was called a mews. And later in life, they turned those into apartments. And I lived in a mews right in the West End of London. I mean, smack bang. Do you know London at all? Have you been to London?
I have a few times, but it's so big. I still don't even have my bearings because we haven't had enough time off.
But it was right in the center. London is beautiful. I mean, if London had, I'm in Los Angeles where I live. If they had this weather in London, it would
be. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. London is just such a special city.
It is. But that melancholy is kind of good for the soul for a little bit.
Yeah, the weather does that.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Rains, but it's so green. It's beautiful. Yep. I've been, dying to get back, and we now can go back to England. It just opened,
That's good, yeah.
Year and a half. What's next, Benny?
Well, listen, I've been enamored by, first off, I want to, first, thank you, Dustin, because I've been admiring you from afar, because I started cutting my hair to be in your band. I don't know, because of COVID. I don't know if you realize. So people were like, dude, your hair looks awesome. No, I just found my hairline and then figured out how to shave up to it and then convinced my fiance to like basically make my weird head. And then I realized I had like the star set cut because you guys all had that cut at one point. And I remember thinking to myself, the more I heard about you guys, I'm like, wait a minute, they're in Forbes magazine? And then we saw you at the Palladium. And when we saw you guys, I went from going, who's the opening band, to like completely understanding afterwards. I'm like, these guys are like a religion, like how Iron Maiden is a religion for metal people. Like, you look, music has died after 2000 for me, when Dimebag Darrell was shot. Like, it's over for me. So like Starset, like, it's not for me. I am not your demographic. But for people now, like the passion and the way that they love you and the way that they look at you and the way that they feed into the story that you've created and this narrative is the same way that I used to go and yell Maiden until I couldn't even breathe. And everybody was wearing a different Iron Maiden Eddie shirt. And you look at Starset fans and they're all wearing different shirts. They have books. They have paraphernalia. Like, there's things where you could watch the sky and you could find things and you're like,
it's called a telescope.
I wouldn't even know, like, I can't even sell a shirt. I can't even sell a shirt, Dustin. Like, that's brilliant. And the fact is, you've learned and you've set, like, you're like the asshole in class that gets 107 on a test when people get an average of 60, so they don't round it. You're the guy that goes, well, we have to be able to do 7,000 things. I have to build my own DMX protocol chain. I have to figure out how I'm going to light this guy. I'm going to have to figure out how to use electrostatic speakers as a way of visual dipolar radiation. I have to figure out dispersion. I got to find the right ratio with the right threshold on the compression so my in-ear mix is right. And you know how to do it. And you write it all.
You are an amazing individual. So unique. I mean,
that's a very polite way of saying that.
It just like comes out of you. It's like astonishing.
I've been watching a long time like a creepy stalker. I admire this guy. I think that his brand, if you go and look this up, it's literally adorable that you don't know that he's a singer. You're like, so you are you a guitarist? Are you guy that like, are you the tech? Do you set it up? You're like, no, I invented how we did this.
Apparently. Yeah. I've made notes. Good. I'm going straight into
I'm going to go back to Shelter and tell them that we need to manage this band. They don't have any manager right now. They need to get to the next level. Call Paul Geary.
Yeah.
They manage Johnny Depp, so you know, Dustin. Maybe so like, if you want to drop some names there, Steve.
That is awesome. Well, Benny, thank you for the kind words. That was like pure poetry.
It wasn't rehearsed. I just like, wow.
It was though in the shower this morning.
Oh, come on.
Are you looking at me?
I feel like a jerk. I was just telling Siobhan, like, I'm just, like, taking over the show here.
Are you kidding me? We listen.
It's so been amazing.
We love Siobhan, but we've really wanted to pick your brain because we want to learn from what you're doing. Because I got to tell you, it's very inspirational. Because we're talking about how could we even make Lost Symphony happen, and I'm like, can we convince Dustin to let us use his backline? Like maybe we could use his lights, and we'll just be light years ahead. We'll be like Ray Kurzweil. We've already figured out the problems that we can't possibly figure out in this lifetime, and now we're anticipating the next things. You know what I mean? Like,
did you claim that I was on the spectrum?
Dude, you're like the transcendent man, dude. Yeah. I think that you are like Ray Kurzweil. I think that you probably already have like your Facebook feed to your head, and then you realize you deleted that, and now you just have TikTok.
That Kurzweil thing you're talking about and transcendence, that's a great video. I don't know if that's what you're talking about, but yeah. Also, is that right? You use Kemper? You're using a Kemper system?
Yeah, so we were using it pretty early on. Yeah.
To speak of then, right? There is no backline.
It's all, Well, there is like, we have this big rack we call Hal.
Hal? Yes. Open the pod bay doors?
Yep. And so it has all the electronics.
Well, yeah, Benny, there is no backline.
But the brains of the operation.
He meant the production. Hal. He wants the flashy lights.
Yeah, no, and the fact is that Dustin, like, he's raised the standard for what you have to do in a band. Like, you have to do everything. It's like, not only do you have to shoot it, you have to edit it, you have to, everything that Corey does.
That's great. No. This has been a great show. I've really enjoyed this, guys.
I think we lost Siobhan / Brock. Not Brock. Jeez, I called him Brock.
Dustin.
Dustin.
Asshole.
Oh, look at him. I heard asshole.
Hey, where are you, Dustin, in the world? Where
They're
are
in
you?
Nebraska, I think he said.
That's right. Lincoln. Right. And where are you going tonight?
I think their internet has failed
like
them.
He's like a spirit box. He's like, can you tell us, Earl Simmons, what you said? Like, it's scary here on the other side in Nebraska.
Oh, we lost him.
Maybe he'll sign back on. I think he's going to sign back on.
Maybe
he's
too smart.
He's too smart. He's figured it out. Them.
But this is a great time to basically say thank you, Steve, for joining us as always, and now
co-host,
you know,
Jesus,
as a co-host, right?
Yeah,
we got to give you more credits.
We put his fuel to the fire. We literally just threw you right into the fire, and you took that co-host job like you were meant to do it.
Here's what I'm thinking. How about I have a word with Miles Kennedy for you guys?
I'm not going
to. Yeah, we're not going to say no to that, Steve.
Yeah, and no? you gotta talk to Ross, because Ross, that he's got stories, I know. Look, we got Dustin back. Oh, holy shit.
Back.
He's back, dude. He's back from the future.
You were gone, and we could see, like, we could kind of hear something, then asshole came through. Whatever you were saying, that's the only word that came through was asshole.
You sounded like the spirit box of Martin Luther King.
Would you please send my love to Siobhan and say I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to her.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we can still say hi because Dustin's here. Look, we can edit this down. I want to hear what Dustin has to say.
Yeah.
Unless you want to leave us, Steve.
No, I didn't.
Steve, you're not leaving us. I'm going to call Paul Geary and tell him that I'm pulling out of this deal.
I thought Corey was bringing it to a close.
Well, he was because he thought we lost Dustin, but we need Dustin. Dustin is the reason this program can go on.
You got to close it with Siobhan. I mean,
yeah.
Look at you, the gentleman, too. And he's a gentleman.
Well, she's right there, right? She just
listen, Dustin. I'm gonna tell you right now. If you ever need someone to press play on the iPod, I can do that for you, and I can even change the BPM in real time. So just
Ableton does that for me.
Listen,
you've been
God
replaced
bless you.
Already,
fact,
Ben.
Yeah, maybe you should just put everything on an iPod. He's like, I got it. I got it on my phone.
Yeah,
putting
everything on a laptop is already a bit much. It's all on one laptop. The video.
I hope
the
you have a backup.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. We don't do the tandem systems. Because the likelihood of a failure is low enough that we have a totally redundant laptop that if something failed we could have up in 1 or 2 minutes. Which if that happens once every 40 shows at the most, then that's the way I justify that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's smart. I get it. Yeah.
Steve's the logistics guy. He's like, this is amazing. Isn't it crazy that the singer knows all this stuff? He knows way more than I. He could write the book.
Yeah, it's you're very smart and realistic, and you've got it going on. I can tell.
Appreciate it.
It's admirable.
Well, when you fail enough at this game, you start to... But I also love science and engineering, so that side of my brain was just... I'm just bringing that into this for better or worse.
Well, yeah, it would seem for better. I mean, yeah. I can't wait till once this show's over, I'm checking you guys out big time.
Awesome.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm excited.
Do you think the next stage is to astrally project yourself to different dimensions so you can capitalize on your what you could do as Starset in different places simultaneously? Kind of like Trans-Siberian Orchestra having multiple versions of the band going, but you could be in multiple
like YouTube
dimensions. Yeah, but YouTube, but like in on ketamine.
Oh, boofed or not boofed?
I guess it depends on what part of the world you're in.
That right. means put in my butt. Yes.
Oh, well, that's how you bypass the kidneys. So that's good for you, my smart gentleman drug taker.
I don't do drugs, but if I did, I'd probably boof them.
That's the title of the episode. I did drugs. Fine. I still do drugs, but I also did drugs, too.
I'm sure you do drugs to calm you down, I would imagine.
Well, interesting. Yeah.
I was talking to Benny, actually.
Oh,
and then
Benny,
I was
going
to say, I don't think they're working.
Here's the cocaine. Yeah, no. I in fact, you want to know what calms me down is going on a hoverboard. I go around a graveyard 8 to 10 miles a day listening to mixes, probably the same song. 75, 80 times in a row. And people
really?
Must think I'm out of my mind, and I don't talk for 3, 4, 5 hours listening to the same 3-minute and 7-second song, going home and making changes and going back on my hoverboard. And because it uses so many muscles, it kind of calms my brain because I'm so ADD that the fact I have to maintain perfect balance allows me to listen calmly.
What is a hoverboard? Is it like
It's a really obnoxious thing you can get on with your feet and you kind of like
It's a Segway without a handle.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it's a douchebag like thing where like, police pull up to me and make silly comments like, hey, you trying to drag race? And I'm just like, dude, I'm doing 12.4 miles an hour. Are you fucking kidding me?
So it's a skateboard with an engine?
It's kind of like if you had like skis, it feels like if you're skiing through the world and you can burn 300 calories a half hour, and it requires I have a bad back, and I was doing physical therapy because of my back.
Yeah.
Before COVID, and after that, like, my back was fucking killing me, and as soon as I got a hoverboard, I started feeling better, and I realized it made me stand like this for hours, and it actually strengthened my core and my back.
It's actually what's been missing
from
the Starset show, I think.
Yeah, I think you guys all need hoverboards.
I'm going to look into that.
It's totally on brand.
It's a real thing, though. So
that makes sense, though. I'm on that, actually.
But I want to say thank you to Dustin, and I really want to say thank you to Steve, because you guys, first off... Steve, you're a gentleman and a scholar. As we say in Yiddish, you're a mensch. And Dustin, I've been I joke around on the show that like you've created a religion. But like I look at you at the same way as like when Ron L. Hubbard looked at Isaac Asimov.
L. Ron Hubbard.
Whatever his name is. It doesn't matter. And Isaac Asimov's like, you can't create a religion. And he's like, hold my beer. And then there's Scientology. And I'm like, you can't create Starset. And then Dustin's like, but I can. And then you did. And the fact that you've manifested it the way that I consider it a manifestation of your mind. And I think that that's absolutely amazing, because what Frank Zappa said was, the best thing you could ever hope for is to get what you hear in your mind exactly out, but it almost never happens. And I feel like you've even done that visually as well as sonically. And I think it's amazing. And you've learned how to make money from it, which is even a harder thing, because we've made Lost Symphony where people think it's good, but I'm broke.
He's monetized an idea, which is awesome.
Steve, help us. Help us. Call Eddie Trunk and tell him he needs to help us get on tour.
I want to help
tell
you.
Tell Nikki Sixx that we're cool. We're cool. We come in peace.
You deserve the help. You really do. I am full of admiration for what you do, you guys. Really.
So with that, you guys have been 2020. And please check out Starset. Where can we go? Is it starset.com, or do you just like say Starset and Alexa tells you?
It probably does, but starsetonline.com is the website, and then Starset Online is all of the, all the different social media tags and all that.
And are we allowed to know when the next record's coming out?
Well, there's a big tour coming in November, so people could use context clues.
My birthday is November 16th, so if you want to release it on my birthday, I won't be offended, because that would be a great present.
All right, we're going to have to... I'm going to call the label now.
I'm going to call Ron. I'll see. I heard that he has some sway in the band. I didn't know bass players had sway.
Are you playing in the Los Angeles area?
I think so, in the December run. No, maybe
they... Oh, I'm definitely going to make
sure...
On
this one, no. I don't even think in either of them, actually, we're even hitting the West Coast, because it was a move to reduce risk of local politics.
Oh, well, when you come here, I'm coming.
Awesome, that would be
I'll
rad.
I'll probably come with Plotnikov, you know?
So. Yes, that would be... Let's do it.
You should come in on your hoverboards. Yeah. You'll show up. You'll just be like, look for the two dudes on the hoverboards, perfectly balanced.
With no back problems.
Right.
So, well, I'm excited for the new Star Set record. I got to say that when I heard Kashmir, by the way, that was such a fucking cool interpretation, because it's like a genty version of Led Zeppelin, which is a ballsy thing to do, because it's like saying I did dubstep Zeppelin, but it works. Like, I don't know how you made it work, but you made it work, and it sounds so good. And even though that band is so superior to almost everything, because of your production and your understanding of music and the way that you just interpreted that, you made it your own, and I commend you, because it doesn't sound like Led Zeppelin. It sounds like Star Set, and that's amazing to say about a song that did he cover.
Yeah.
Well, we went into that knowing that Zeppelin is sacrosanct, but it was the first time I'd ever heard anything that I would consider cinematic rock. And so I was paying homage, knew that we had to sort of bring it and do it in our own way. Currently, it's only on Amazon.
It was a premiere, some sort of thing.
But in a couple weeks, it'll be opened up, or a month or so, it'll be opened up to everybody.
Steve's literally putting you on a headhunting list, by the way, to like make sure you get you managed.
Yeah.
I have to give Rob Graves credit for a lot of the production on that. He also was a huge Kashmir fan. So when we got together, he produced the first two records, but got together again to do this. And it was like we both were changed by that song. So teaming up was really cool. And no one's given us too much shit, but we'll see when it hits the general population that off of Amazon.
The gen
how much,
pop.
Yeah, when it hits gen pop.
It's been a pleasure to meet you.
Likewise,
and I look forward to meeting you in person, actually.
Me too.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, he's a listen. I want you to understand, Dustin. He's my spirit animal, so you can't have him.
No.
Get your own mantra, dude. Get your own fucking mantra. Steve Wood is mine.
I'm spoken for, my guys.
On that note, thank you guys both. We appreciate it.
Thank
Check out 2020.com, 2020-D.com.
Star Set Online. Witness the whole new tour. Yeah. Go say hi.
Yep. Thank you, Siobhan, if you can hear me. Thank you, Corey. Thank you.
Thank you, as always, for checking out this episode of 2020. Please visit 2020-D.com, like and subscribe so you don't miss out on future podcasts. This week's throwback clip is from episode number 78, featuring Brock Richards of Star Set. Check it out.
The album wasn't out. He had a song charting. It was My Demons, actually. Mm-hmm. Was already charting when I had talked to him. And then I was like, hey, man, let's jam. And he's like, cool, come out. And I bring like this all this gear, like, you know, that I'm used to playing with, like this huge pedal board. Anyway, we rehearsed for 2 weeks. I ended up getting on the internet, buying a baritone guitar overnight, got it, learned the rest of the record, and 2 weeks later we went on tour. And me and Dustin still talk about it to this day. I bet it was awful.
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, we go all over the map. From Fall Out Boy to Slayer, Peer Pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.